Welcome to Jesus-Centric Leadership. I'm here with Pastor Josh. I'm Donna, and we're talking about leadership in the garden. Now, this is not a gardening episode.
That'd be fun, though. Because right now, it's like end of March when we're recording this, and it's like starting to be garden season, so that would be fun, but no, sadly
not. Yeah, you're wishing.
We'll have Harold back on, and him and I will just talk about gardening.
But yeah, but we're going to talk about this, kind of comparing the Garden of Eden with the Garden of Gethsemane.
Okay. Yeah.
And talking about how we respond to the heaviness that can happen in leadership.
Yeah.
I've got a quote here from leadership expert John Maxwell, and he said leadership involves the heavy burden of responsibility, and the fear of getting it wrong can paralyze a leader. Truth?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think my father-in-law told me, I think it was right after I took this call, he's like, yep, senior leadership is just different than other leadership. And I didn't believe him until I was in it. And like, I think some people in the, you know, secular world understand that too. Like, you thought this new promotion was going to be the greatest thing ever. And there's parts about it that you love, but there's parts about it that it's just heavy knowing you have more responsibility. Yeah.
Do you ever, I'm just going to go on a side note here,
Do
you ever really feel the weight of pieces making it or not is on your shoulders? We know ultimately God is in charge.
Yeah.
He loves peace way more than either of us sitting here do.
Yeah.
He's not, but at the end of the day, do you feel that? And what does that feel like?
Yeah, no, I do. And at some level I should somewhat, but not to the degree that I do. But yeah, I think, I guess I would say this, when you love something and you see purpose in the mission, you just end up caring all of it because you have a desire for it to succeed, and you know that in some little way, shape, or form, you have an impact on that. And I think that's the closest I can come to it, that because, yes, I know God is the God of peace, and he's going to make this church successful no matter what. But the things I do matter. And I have the ability at some level to lead it in the way that God wants me to, or to lead it in the way that's going to destroy it. And part of that is sinful to even think that. I'll admit that. But yeah, where is the balance between God's provision and him doing it and my responsibility? And that's like, at some level, God can make peace succeed without me. I know that. But then also God uses me. I know that. So where's the balance in that?
And I think anybody who, my dad was an orthodontist.
Okay.
And he owned his own practice.
Yeah.
And I remember him talking about that, of if I don't have a stream of patients coming in, I can't keep the doors open. If I'm not paying my staff well, if I'm not keeping it out there, if I'm not staying up with the newest training, it was a weight on him. But I remember the day he retired, and I remember seeing him sit at his desk, and it literally, I could see the weight of the responsibility come off his shoulders. It was real.
Yeah. And I think, you know, everybody that has kids can understand it at some level. Like, it's the same thing at some level, that God has entrusted this church to me, or this job to me, or this business to me.
Or this child to me.
Yeah. Like, and so I think when you can understand that, with responsibility, comes a little bit of burden, right? It's the Spider-Man, right? Like, the sounds very Jesus-y, right? Much is given, much is expected, which is actually Jesus, is the parable of the talents, right?
But the Spider-Man is great responsibility.
I think it was great. With great responsibility comes great expectations.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah. And so, that's, I think that in a way is the way to leadership that we all carry in some way, shape or form.
What do you think contributes to that burden of the weight? And we're going to look at the positive here in a minute. So I promise we're not going to stay in the muck of this, but what do you feel is the biggest contributor to the weight of the burden?
I think some of it is the loneliness in it. Like, I remember back in COVID where we said, like, we're all in this together, right? Like, you know, that silly statement we said, like, we're all in the same problem. And it's like, no, at some level, we're all in the same ocean that is COVID. But we're not, like, some people were wading through COVID and you're on a cruise liner. Like, if you're an introvert and you hate being around people and suddenly the world says you get a 12-week vacation from seeing anybody, you're like, praise God, right? Like, but I don't know if you're at home with, if you're at home in a bad marriage that's already struggling and the world says you have to just be with this person, like, ooh, that's a totally different one. And hopefully there's some stories out there where you're forced to deal with the person and you were able to work it through because you couldn't escape.
Right.
But like there's a lot of, so to say we're all like, so we all lead in some way, right? And so we all bear some weight of leadership, but at some level, like you have a lot of weight of leadership, but you can't understand what I deal with at some level. And neither can I understand what you deal with. And I think the listener too, like we can understand that we all carry weight of leadership, but I don't know what it's like to lead in the secular world, right? To have people who you want to apply Jesus' leadership perspective, but they're not even Christian. So how can you expect them to, right, to do that? And so I think that's part of it is that it's hard to be fully together with other people because they don't understand what it means to lead in your context.
Do you think there is a thing like leadership exhaustion? Because as you're talking, I'm like, That sounds exhausting. Do you think leadership exhaustion is a real thing? And yeah.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Like there's decision fatigue. There's we just talked about emotional intelligence, like a mental strain that exists from thinking about your emotions and other people's emotions. Like, I think all of that. And then, the general weight of leadership. Yeah, I think all of that makes it challenging and stressful and exhaustive and lonely. Yeah, I think all of that just kind of comes together.
I was talking to somebody who's at the, not end, but they've probably got about 10 more years in their career. And they have paced themselves well that they're not a workaholic or not overtly.
Yeah.
And I asked them, I said, what's helped you not to dive too deep into it? You know, to be able to separate. And they said, I come home, I sit in my car for about 5 minutes and I just pray that God just helps me let it go. And then I come home and I shower before dinner and I wash off the challenges of that day. And I just see God washing that off. And the ritual of praying and then taking the shower and just seeing God wash that off and then just stepping into the next helps them to be more present and to receive the rest that God has for them. I just thought that was really fascinating. Yeah. And I'm sure there's a lot of things that people do out there.
Yeah.
But it's good to know. It is a real thing. Leadership exhaustion is real, but we don't have to live in that space.
Yeah, and I think that's great advice. And I struggle with that because I think the challenge of leadership is how do you turn it off, right? Like if, because at some level, like if we care about what we're doing and we're passionate about what we're doing, we're going to struggle not to think about it, to not have conversations like with our spouse about like, how is work? Like you turn it off and then the conversation, how is work, which is a good conversation to have with your spouse because you just spend a day apart and that's your hopefully best friend, right? Like to have that conversation, but like how do you not dive down the rabbit hole of trying to solve tomorrow's problems when you are supposed to be resting, right? Which I think the other part of the heaviness of leadership. Yeah. Is not turning it off.
Yeah. And you've got to live in that Sabbath and you've got to take that rest, which we've talked about.
Yeah. Cause it's easy to say, like, I think in, you know, some people, you know, let's limit our work day to 50, 60 hours, which I think is a health, very healthy thing. Like, especially probably toward 50 if you can. Like, I think that's a healthy thing. But it's not just the hours, if you're a leader, it's not just the hours that you're working in the office, the hours you're thinking about it outside, which then it's really easy to balloon to 60 and 70, 80 and 100. Like, you can get to 100 hours thinking about work real quick, right?
Yes. Like, and it's easy to carry that like a badge of honor.
Yeah.
But that's not a badge of honor. No. It's not a good thing.
No. And they say your productivity drops like really after 40, but you can be good at 50. But yeah, you go beyond, much beyond that on a regular basis, and your productivity is going to drop. You might be spending more hours on the clock, but you're not getting more done. You're getting less done, they say. Yeah.
So when we talked about this, we didn't want to just leave it in this burden and talking about the burden.
Yeah.
But we wanted to talk about a couple of ways, a way not to handle it and a way to handle the burden of leadership. And we see that in scripture. And the first one is in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah. So this is after the fall. So to set it up, Adam and Eve are in perfect relationship with God. And so they make this mistake, right? Which sometimes happens in leadership. And so they make this mistake. They suddenly realize they're naked. And so they hear God coming. And this is 3 verse 8, where I'll pick it up. And they, that's Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, which used to be a really pleasant thing. Like, God would walk with them. But then the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. So they hid from God.
You forgot the part where they all blame each other?
Yeah. I was going to get to, well, I know I wasn't going to get to that, but yeah, they do. Eventually they blame each other, but I really just want to deal with the hide from God.
Right.
Like, so they're in their leadership angst, the heaviness of leadership. They messed up. Adam, you know, let his wife trick him. They made a bad choice. They made a bad mistake. And this isn't the leading of other people necessarily, but even the leading of themselves. They hide from God when the leadership got heavy. Right? That's the thing I want to bear out. They hid from God when the leadership got heavy. They severed relationships. They blamed each other when the leadership got heavy. Right? And I think our natural inclination when it's hard, and we do this, the world gets hard, what do? We separate from people and we separate from God. I think that's the natural inclination. And watch yourself. I would just challenge you to watch yourself in this. Like, I hear people say it all the time, you know, sorry, we haven't been at church for a while. Things have just been really difficult.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Or they're stuck in something. They can't get out and they push away from the table of the community that really wants to love them.
Yeah. Yeah. But it happens all the time. I think our natural inclination is to isolate when it becomes too much.
Which is the worst thing we could do. And I've isolated, you've isolated.
Yeah.
And we know it's not good, and then we do it again.
Yeah, yeah. And then we could, you know, talk about the fact that this podcast has turned into a podcast about community and not leadership. But I guess the point is, like, I think our leadership is only so good if it's not in community.
It is in community.
It's only so good if it's not in community. It's best if it's in community.
Right,
yeah.
I'm with you.
So I think that's fascinating.
All right. So what's the opposite? The way we really, what we need to do.
Yeah. So, and I love when the Bible does this. Let's go to a different garden and let's see how Jesus did it in the weight of leadership. So, I just want to compare and contrast the weight that these two people are carrying. So Adam and Eve, they're carrying the weight of their mistake. And they just fold like crazy. And that's a little, at some level, like, they ate an apple. Like, let's not make it too big. They ate a dang apple and they just crumble under it.
But everything changed also.
And you know, and it was eating the apple was a big deal. I don't want to undersell that. Right. But yeah, like, but here's Jesus. He's carrying the sins of the whole world, everything anybody's done, including Adam and Eve. And he's carrying that weight because he knows at this point in the Garden of Gethsemane that he's about to die for the sins of the whole world, that he's going to be crucified in a brutal way. And this is something we can't understand. In the same way that Adam and Eve, their one sin separated from them from God, and they felt the weight of that and they hide, Jesus is going to carry the weight, not just of one apple, but of Cain's murder, Cain killing his brother, of Moses's arrogance, of Joshua's insecurities. He's going to carry the sins of your and I's sins. Like, he's carrying all those sins, and he knows how painful. See, the cross wasn't the most painful thing. He was carrying the world's weight, the weight of their sin that was way more difficult. And so Jesus knows he's going to face all of that, and he knows the weight of the leadership that he has. And so then what does he do with the garden? And this is key. He doesn't tell his disciples, hey, I need to be by myself for a while. He takes them with him. He takes them with him. Like, they're there. Now they're falling asleep. They're not very good friends, but they're with him. Like, he doesn't go off by himself. And then the second thing he does, so he takes people with him, which is the opposite of Adam and Eve. They separate themselves from each other. But the second thing he does is he goes to God in it, right? Like, he goes to the garden so that he can pray. So he has friends and he goes to God, right? And I think, like, if we're going to do something with the weight of leadership, this is what we should do. Now, understand a few things. His friends didn't know the weight that he was going to carry in leadership. Like, none of us can understand what Jesus went through. So they didn't understand what he was going through, but they were just there. And so I think sometimes stop expecting our friends to understand what we're going through in the weight of leadership, but just embrace the community that they have, whether or not they understand what you're going through or not. Just embrace the friendships. So be with God, be with other people in the weight of leadership. I think that's the point.
And you don't even have to fix it. Just walk with them. Just listen. Just help them not to be alone. Or if you're bringing some people along, be willing to share what you're going through also.
Yeah. And I think there's things that we can learn from the disciples that they, how they were a bad friend, but it's interesting, even though they were bad friends, Jesus still took them with them. So maybe just being with a friend that's not perfect or doesn't know exactly what to do in the situation, right? Like, is maybe helpful. And so why did Jesus take the disciples to the garden if they were just going to fall asleep? Like, they were bad friends, but yet having them there asleep was better than them not being there.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Jesus really, beside them seeing him be betrayed, like, they don't learn much in the garden. Why did he take them? I think for some reason it was valuable for him to just have people with him. And so I think stop expecting our friends to be perfect and just embrace the fact that being with them is better than not being with them. Being with people is better than not being with people. Not the great small group is better than no small group at all. And a lot of times if our friends aren't perfect, or if they don't understand what I'm thinking and feeling, then I just kind of push them away.
Yeah. Why didn't they ask me how I was
doing?
Yeah,
why didn't they ask me how I was doing, right?
Right.
And I think we can easily judge our friends, but Jesus seems to just need them to be there, and I think we can learn something from that.
There was a point of surrender with Jesus where he literally surrendered the weight of this. What does surrender look like for you as a leader? As you come into that space, as you have people around you and you've got to let it go, you know, you share it with them or whatever. How do you do it?
Well, not well all the time. Like, I'll just admit that. I don't let it go well. Like, but yet at the same time, when I'm at my best, it's carrying the responsibility for what I can do, but not the responsibility for all of it. That's when I'm at my best. When I can give over the results to God, the results of my leadership. And I say it that way, the results of my leadership, the results, when I can give over the results of what I do, then I'm at my best. Because it allows me to work hard and do what I need to do without carrying the responsibility of the results. And I think that's where we're at. So I look at, again, when I'm at my best, I look at results, because results matter. Like, what we're doing, are we reaching people with the gospel of Jesus or not as a church? Like, that matters.
Right.
But yet, ultimately, that's on God's shoulders. And I simply look at the results to see, ask the question, how can I do better? How can I lead better? How can I be better? But the results aren't on me, they're on God. And I think that's how I do it when I do it well, and when I do it poorly, I mix that up and jumble it all together and make the results about, well, I was horrible, I didn't do well enough, and rather than looking at the results to ask, how can I do better, but not seeing it that as who I am as a leader.
Do you believe that there's a cost that happens when we carry this weight of leadership, like we put it on our own shoulders and we keep lugging it around everywhere? Do you feel like there's a cost that we pay?
I guess I'm going to back up and say this for a second. I think we just have to realize this, that leadership is a sacrifice. And so, yes, there's a cost, like there's a cost leading. To be a leader, you pay something. Like, my job would be way less stressful if I drove for Amazon delivery, right? Like, it'd be way less stressful.
Although driving for Amazon delivery has its weight also.
Yeah, it does. And I'm not saying it doesn't, and I'm not saying it's not stressful, but like when you're leading and you're called to be a leader, and you can drive for Amazon delivery and be a great leader in your home or be a great leader at your church, and like, but raising your hand for leadership has a cost. Like, deciding you're going to be a leader in your family has a cost. And that's a sacrifice that I think we as leaders, we get to give. We get to give. And it has other rewards and other blessings, but there's a cost. But yeah, I think there's an additional cost that we don't have to carry, that we impose on ourselves by making it all about us. And so I think, like, leadership is hard enough. Don't make it any harder than you have to, by placing the burden of leadership solely in your hands. Look at, what can I do today? How can I make the world a better place in Jesus' image, whether you're in church work or in secular work? But don't carry the weight of the results. Like, that's too much to carry. Let God carry that.
Yeah, and just lay it down to Him each and every day.
Yeah, and then
multiple times in the day.
Multiple times, yeah. Yeah.
Wow, great conversation. Thank you so much, Pastor. And thank you for joining us for Jesus-Centric Leadership. We hope to see you in our next episode.